From Minnesota Public Radio.
Lethal acts of terrorism destroy New York's World Trade Center, damage the Pentagon in Washington, and close much of America for business today. Gone are assumptions about personal, national, and economic security. From Los Angeles, this is Marketplace.
Marketplace is produced for Public Radio International and is made possible by GE. From aircraft engines to appliances to broadcasting, GE. We bring good things to life. And by Fannie Mae. We're in the American dream business. Produced in association with the University of Southern California.
It's Tuesday, the 11th of September. I'm David Brancaccio. The world changed shortly before 9 a.m. Eastern Time today. An airliner, apparently hijacked by terrorists, flew into one of the twin towers of the World Trade Center in New York. Minutes later, another airliner struck the second tower. Both towers would later collapse, causing a staggering loss of life. In Washington, D.C., a third airliner struck America's military headquarters, the Pentagon, and in Pennsylvania, a fourth hijacked airliner crashed, killing all aboard. President Bush today said the U.S. will, quote, hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts. All civil aviation was stopped in U.S. airspace. Federal government offices, many public places such as shopping malls, and the U.S. border with Mexico were closed. U.S. financial markets were closed today as well and will stay shut at least through tomorrow as shaken global trading systems work to contain the damage. Marketplace's Bob Moon is in New York.
Financial markets may have been paralyzed here today, but that was just about the last thing on the minds of those I spoke to. More than one market watcher who I was able to reach today answered the phone in tears and had no interest in talking about what might be ahead for Wall Street. Reuters did find a couple of analysts who expect things to be awful when the stock markets are able to open, and not only because of the psychological blow. Stanley Nobby, a managing director at Credit Suisse First Boston, thinks the attack could make the economic slowdown accelerate into a recession. On the other hand, Robert Stovall, a prudential securities strategist and a veteran of World War II, compares it to Pearl Harbor and says nothing brings a country out of a slowdown quicker than a national disaster. The question that remains is how long it will take Wall Street to get back on its feet. Lee Degenstein is a Wall Street communications consultant who until recently worked at Salomon Smith Barney. He says the World Trade Center towers were much more than just symbols of American capitalism. Some of the biggest financial names had offices there.
First Boston, Morgan Stanley, there's some Oppenheimer people. There is a ton of Morgan Stanley people in that building. God knows what the communication system is going to be like down there.
Indeed, Morgan Stanley was the building's largest tenant with 50 floors. The chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission issued a statement saying investors should be assured trading will resume as soon as it is practicable to do so. Wall Street consultant Lee Degenstein says it's not just communications that need to be worked out.
All of these firms, I guarantee you, at least the important trading firms, have other locations set up where physically all you have to do is flip a switch. But for example, if your equity operation, if your equity trading desk was on the 82nd floor of tower number two, most of your traders are probably dead at this point or severely injured. So, you know, I think all of these firms have to take a little bit of an inventory of what's happened to their people.
And it's the people on everyone's mind now. Newsweek's Wall Street editor, Alan Sloan, didn't want to talk about stock market contingency plans except to say he's sure they exist.
All I know is the United States has been attacked. There are thousands of people dead. The world is a very resilient place. I may worry about it tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about it today. I just have nothing else to say. I'm sorry.
For now, there just really isn't much to say about the impact on Wall Street. In New York, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
In Washington, following the attack on the Pentagon, people in federal buildings and then most downtown office buildings emptied onto the streets.
And then somebody said something about the Pentagon, and we all looked out the window, and we can see the Pentagon from our office building, and there was smoke coming out of it, and then we were sitting around talking about going home, and we heard a boom, and I guess it was something that over at the Capitol somebody had said, so we decided to go home. I'm scared. I want to go home.
Emergency vehicles rushed through the streets to seal off the U.S. Capitol and other especially sensitive government buildings. Despite the exodus of rank-and-file federal workers today, Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports the agencies responsible for overseeing the nation's banking and financial systems were quick to reassure the country that essential government functions were still getting done.
With airports shut down and only rumors flying, Washington was considered too dangerous to bring the president in from his aborted trip to Florida.
I've been in regular contact with the vice president, Secretary of Defense, the National Security Team, and my cabinet. We have taken all appropriate security precautions to protect the American people.
The president conducted meetings with national security advisors from a military base in Nebraska. Soon after the plane crash at the Pentagon, congressional leaders, the National Security Team, and members of the cabinet were taken to undisclosed locations. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld remains at the Pentagon. Later in the afternoon, presidential adviser Karen Hughes assured the country from Washington that the people's business continued.
Every federal agency has implemented continuity of operations plans to make sure the government continues to function effectively. While the markets closed today because of the situation in Manhattan, the United States financial system has continued to operate. Banks have been open all day. The Federal Reserve has operated regularly and continuously.
This morning, a few blocks from the Capitol, the Securities and Exchange Commission, which oversees financial markets and exchanges, put out a statement supporting the decisions to close trading exchanges today. And the Federal Reserve Board also issued a two-sentence statement saying the Federal Reserve System is open for business. A former vice chairman of the Fed, Alice Rivlin, says the government is ready for emergencies thanks to concerns about what would happen to computers at the turn of the millennium.
You remember Y2K. At that time, there was enormous effort expended by the Federal Reserve and by the whole financial system to make sure that if one institution went down for reasons related to their computer system not functioning, that the others wouldn't go with it.
Other former Fed employees say procedures are in place to make sure that senior financial officials are secure during national emergencies such as today's. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
As the world was riveted by the news of these terrorist attacks, political leaders in Europe abruptly returned to their capitals and their financial markets were thrown into some disarray. From London Marketplace's Stephen Beard has this report.
The attacks caused horror and disbelief across the European Union. From every corner of the continent, leaders condemned the huge loss of life. The EU's Foreign Relations Commissioner in Brussels said this is an act of war by madmen. British Prime Minister Tony Blair cancelled a keynote speech on public services and, visibly shaken, denounced what he called the new evil of mass terrorism.
It is perpetrated by fanatics who are utterly indifferent to the sanctity of human life, and we, the democracies of this world, are going to have to come together and eradicate this evil completely from our world.
Security at all British airports has now been raised to maximum levels. Flight paths have been changed so there will be no civilian aircraft flying over central London. The attacks caused pandemonium in financial markets across Europe, says Jeremy Batstone of NatWest Stockbrokers. The London stock market was down 6% and Frankfurt lost almost a tenth of its value.
Despite calls for calm, we've seen the knee-jerk reaction to these horrific events play out not only in equity markets around Europe, but also in the currency markets. And I rather expect that when dollar trading does begin again, we'll see the dollar fall very sharply.
Gold, the traditional safe haven at times of crisis, leapt in price, and so did crude oil, reaching $31 a barrel. British Foreign Secretary Jack Straw said there was nothing knee-jerk about these reactions. The scale of the terrorist attack on the US, he said, eclipsed even Pearl Harbor.
Well, that was terrible, but that was not actually right in the heart of America, the twin centers of government and of commerce of the most powerful country in the world.
EU foreign ministers hold an emergency meeting in Brussels tomorrow. The fight against international terrorism, says the Commission, is now more important than anything else. This battle will dominate the agenda until it's won. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
For the first time, all civilian air traffic over the United States was ordered to a halt today as two airlines, American and United, coped with the loss of life on a total of four hijacked airliners. The Federal Aviation Administration says it will permit no new flights until at least midday Wednesday. Marketplace's Laura Seidel went to San Francisco Airport, the original destination of one of the hijacked planes, United Flight 93 from Newark, New Jersey.
Hundreds of passengers milled around San Francisco's International Airport this morning. Bob, who lives in the Bay Area, was supposed to go for a 40th birthday celebration with old friends in Denver. Delta Airlines officials could only tell him,
wait and see, we won't know anything for 7 hours, and there's a chance, but they don't know, about leaving tonight, otherwise book flights for tomorrow.
It may not be that easy. This is the first time the U.S. government has ever stopped all civilian flights. Mike McCarron, assistant deputy director of the airport, couldn't really say how long it would be before the flight schedule returned to normal.
It depends, because right now their whole schedule is moving equipment and crews on a very synchronized basis. That synchronized schedule has all been discombobulated, for lack of a better word. So until they can get their crews and equipment in the right position, the right place, there's going to be hiccups in the system for quite some time.
According to officials at Delta, one of the nation's top three carriers, on an average day, the airline has more than 2,500 flights. San Francisco International Airport is the fifth busiest in the U.S., according to officials there. Within 24 hours, approximately 600 flights depart and arrive from its runways. It's not only business and leisure travel that will be affected, says McCarron. California is the nation's number one produce grower.
We ship a lot of produce to the Far East. All that is now perishable. That's going to be lost. There's all the first-class mail that travels on the airliners that you depend on is now going to be delayed or lost.
But for many people, wondering when they might finally take off wasn't the first thing on their minds. Manny, who is visiting the United States from Israel, kept shaking his head at the news.
It's very hard to me to see those pictures here in the States. I mean, I used to do those pictures in Israel of bomb and crash and... I thought this is a very safety place, but...
One fact airport officials here seemed certain about was that security at this and every other airport around the nation would be forever changed in the wake of today's attack. In San Francisco, I'm Laura Seidel for Marketplace.
Acts of terrorism on a scale never before seen on these shores targeted clearly, among other places, at the financial system. U.S. markets closed today to recap, but the global financial system did not close. We turn to Marketplace's market analyst David Johnson in Dallas. David, we did not have stock trading today, so you must have had a lot of clients calling you for advice.
I had a lot of clients that we talked to, and most of them realize that there's not a lot to do right now. Most of them wanted some quiet assurance that the system works and that we'll get through this. And I assured them with what I truly believe, which is that the system does work and we will get through it. And it is going to be painful, but we'll get through this. I saw a quote from a release, actually, from the Federal Reserve that was, while comforting, eerily reminiscent of the one they put out in October of 1987 when the stock market crashed. They said, and if I may quote, "The Federal Reserve System is open and operating. The discount window is available to meet liquidity needs." That's it. They said, system works. We're still here. If you need money, the money's out there. In a broader sense, we understand the central banks cooperate with one another. And I look back, and we got through October 87, and we got through the bombing of the World Trade Center, and we've gotten through a lot of other things. Sometimes you don't know how you're going to get through it, but you know you're going
to
get through it.
But let's zoom in on that point. When the Fed vows to provide whatever liquidity is necessary to keep the system going, what they're saying is, although your banker may be worried about lending to you at this moment in history, we stand ready to lend the money.
Right. But more than anything, you're getting the assurance that there's money out there. I mean, for example, there were today, I guarantee you, not having a figure, but I guarantee you, there were thousands of people today who were ready to close on a house. Now, could they wire the funds to do that? Could they sell the stock that are bonds that they own today so they could close on the thing 2 or 3 days from now? I know some people who have an enormous check going on estate taxes that's due tomorrow. You know, Will they be able to get the money out of the account? Will the system be there? You need this sort of reassurance. On the macro side, you know, you talk about international trade. and settling up accounts and that sort of thing. And you know it's going to do it. But I'm telling you, you know, you look at ground zero of this horrible attack on Lower Manhattan. There was the financial district. And I think of Morgan Stanley. I mean, my gosh, I mean, they had 40 or 50 floors in the World Trade Center. And they had offices other places, and they have backups in New Jersey and redundancies like everybody else has learned to do in the financial system. But still, you know, how long does it take to dig out of there? And how long does it take to know who you lost? And
well, you made a lot of calls to Lower Manhattan today, and many were not answered.
No, I mean, none were answered. Almost none were answered. I got through on a couple of landlines, none of the cell phone. And I was looking for people on several levels, people I care about. I mean, I've been doing this for 30 years. There are people up there that I talk to one, two, sometimes five times a day, 5 days a week. And I have on and off for, you know, maybe 30 years. And in virtually every case, I can't find them.
Marketplace's market analyst David Johnson via KERA in Dallas. Word is that U.S. financial markets will not reopen until at least Thursday. Stock exchanges in Mexico City, Sao Paulo, Buenos Aires, and much of the rest of Latin America suspended trading today as well. In Europe, the attacks occurred halfway through the business day there. Markets there limped through the remainder of the session, shell-shocked. Airplane and insurance stocks took particularly heavy losses and helped drive London's FT100 index down 5.7% today. The Paris CAC 40 lost 7.3%, with the Frankfurt DAX index plunging 8.5% today. The U.S. dollar first plunged 2% on the news, then settled under 91.5 euros in Europe. Gold rose as much as $18.95 an ounce at one point today. More to the point, 40 to 50,000 people work at New York's World Trade Center in a given day. 150,000 people typically pass through the two buildings in a day. The complex was home to 435 companies from 26 countries. Beyond Morgan Stanley, other tenants include Bank of America, Credit Suisse Group, Germany's Deutsche Bank, and market data firm Thomson Financial. The World Trade Center also housed 70 shops and numerous restaurants and was a stop on more than half a dozen train lines. 266 people were on board the four commercial flights that were hijacked and crashed today. Thousands work on a daily basis at the Pentagon. 66 people were taken from that damaged building to Washington area hospitals. You're listening to Marketplace.
Major funding for Marketplace is provided by GE and its appliance business, offering the GE Monogram and Profile lines of premium appliances that feature state-of-the-art refrigerators, speed cooking ovens, and advanced dishwasher technology. Because at GE, we bring good things to life. GE Appliances is online at GE.com. This is PRI, Public Radio International. When you're away from home, you don't have to be away from the economic news you need. Marketplace is heard on hundreds of public radio stations nationwide. To find out where you can pick us up on the road, just visit our website. Point your browser to marketplace.org.
From the Marketplace Datebook, here's an update on cancellations nationwide. The FAA says that commercial flights will remain grounded until at least noon tomorrow. Greyhound has suspended operations in the Northeast and at the nation's borders until further notice. Shopping centers in major cities nationwide have been closed as a security precaution. The Emmy Awards scheduled for this weekend have been postponed, and Major League Baseball games have been canceled for tonight. I'm Michelle Phillippe.
This is Marketplace. I'm David Brancaccio. Today's attacks in New York City and Washington, D.C. did not just shut down business in the world's financial center and the seat of the U.S. government. People all over the country stopped doing business today, and some of the country's best-known corporations literally locked their doors. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports.
You can't say that American business came to a halt today, but it was pretty darn close. Even the employees who were at work were distracted, nervous, and watching the news on television. And some companies, including a few that have become symbols of American commercial power in the world, decided to shut down altogether.
Hello. Due to the national emergency, the Coca-Cola Company Atlanta office complex will be closed as of 12 noon on Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. Thank you.
At American aircraft and defense giant Boeing, which just moved to Chicago from Seattle, executives quickly decided to evacuate the Chicago offices and its facility near Washington, D.C. Boeing employees were calling this hotline today to find out whether their facility was affected.
For Puget Sound sites, press 2. In the Puget Sound area, there has been no known threat to Boeing facilities. However, Boeing security is on heightened alert.
Boeing's Larry McCracken says employees were instructed to take extra security precautions, be alert to their surroundings, and challenge people without ID badges. McCracken says Boeing's top leadership was horrified by today's events.
I think the anger will build, and we support the president's pledge to find out and take appropriate action against those who have basically declared war in the United States.
General Motors headquarters in downtown Detroit closed as well. GM's Tom Pyden emphasized there had been no threats against the American automaker, but out of respect for their employees, they decided to close down.
People were watching TV, and they were aghast at watching what was unfolding.
Even the major corporations that were open for business today had increased their security measures, although they all refused to say how. Executives at companies all over the country who were supposed to travel for business were stranded by the closure of airports and worked the phones instead. Some admitted, however, that business had come to a standstill. At Philip Morris headquarters in Midtown Manhattan, employees did not hear the explosions, but Dave Tovar says many were trying to contact friends and family and were glued to the news all day.
I think it's kind of surreal. I mean, I think people don't seem to think that this is really happening, and then you realize the reality of it, and it is.
Tovar said much of their energy was spent today not on the business of tobacco, but on setting up a blood drive for those injured in the attacks at the World Trade Center. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Despite this unprecedented attack on the center and symbol of world commerce, commentator and business historian John Steele Gordon notes that if history is any measure, New York will prove more resilient than terrorists can imagine.
The beating heart of world capitalism will beat again, and soon. The New York financial market, a potent and emotional symbol of American power, has been struck before. In 1863, the draft riot sparked by opposition to the Civil War engulfed the city from downtown to its northern edge. Then in the East 40s. Hundreds, perhaps thousands, died in the 3 days of looting, fire, and lynching. But as soon as order was restored, by army regiments rushed in from Gettysburg, the banks and the stock exchange reopened. Business went on. In 1920, a deliberate attack on Wall Street itself resulted in an explosion in front of the Morgan Bank. Hundreds of pounds of cut-up iron chunks, intended as people killers, were hurled throughout the neighborhood, and awnings as high as 12 stories up burst into flame. 13 were killed and dozens injured. Had the bomb exploded a few minutes later, when lunch hour crowds would have thronged the corner of Wall and Broad, the death toll would have been in the hundreds. But the next day, the Morgan Bank and the stock exchange across the street were open for business, their shattered windows boarded up, their courage intact. New York City is a tough place, both when it comes to dishing out misfortune and when it comes to absorbing it. And no part of this city is tougher than its oldest part, where people have come for 350 years to seek their fortunes. Too many hearts have been broken there, and too many dreams fulfilled, to be more than momentarily shaken, even by an outrage of the magnitude of this attack. We New Yorkers will bury our dead, however many they may be, comfort our wounded, plan our revenge. But most of all, New York City will go on. It'll go on doing what New York does best, buying and selling, searching for opportunity, reaching for the stars. 2,000 years ago, St. Paul said, "I am a citizen of no mean city." On this terrible day, millions of New Yorkers know exactly what he meant. In North Salem, New York, this is John Steele Gordon for Marketplace.
Business historian John Steele Gordon is a contributing editor at American Heritage Magazine and author of the book The Great Game, How Wall Street Became a World Power. Though history tells us the center of commerce will regain its footing, eventually it is clear that what began as just another work day will go down in history as a day of tears. Veteran New York reporter and commentator Marty Goldenson peers into a world now very different from when the sun first came up over New York Harbor this morning.
They knew what they were doing, these terrorists, how to scare us to death and break our hearts. In a local high school here in Ridgewood, New Jersey, a 17-year-old senior named Sophie was hysterical. Her mom works on Wall Street. After endless hours, mom finally got through. No way to commute home. See you tonight or tomorrow. But many moms and dads will not make it home, ever. Nice job. Scare us to death. Break our hearts. And the perfect targets, too. The two uprights of the world's tallest dollar sign, upright no longer, and filling with blood. Scare us to death. Break our hearts. If this is, as speculation goes, the Middle East war brought home, or anybody else's war, then we get the message. No justice, no peace. America is the demon, world capitalism is the brain, the smoking Pentagon is the enforcer. But with the smoke still rising and the dying still dying, who cares about anyone's justice if the way to peace is to scare us to death and break our hearts? I'm Marty Goldenson for Marketplace.
Commentator Marty Goldenson is host of the public radio program Been There, Done That. To recap some of today's events, airliners were deliberately crashed into symbols of American power today, New York's World Trade Center and the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. Federal buildings in the nation's capital have been evacuated, so was the lower end of Manhattan, home to U.S. financial markets, which suspended trading. Hundreds of thousands of people left that area on foot. The nation's two major airlines, United and American, each lost two passenger flights to apparent hijackings. The Federal Aviation Administration shut down the nation's air traffic control system, grounding all domestic flights today. Hospitals in the Washington, D.C. and New York metropolitan areas are overwhelmed with casualties. New York, New Jersey, and Washington have declared a critical blood shortage, and the Federal Department of Health and Human Services has, for the first time, mobilized a national emergency medical response to deploy more than 7,000 medical personnel where they're needed the most. U.S. aircraft carriers were deployed to boost air defenses for Washington, D.C. and New York City today. And that is Marketplace for Tuesday, the 11th of September. We'll be back tomorrow with more reaction from around the world and a look at the long-term repercussions of today's attacks. I'm David Brancaccio.
Marketplace is made possible in part by Fannie Mae, the private company committed to further expanding affordable housing opportunities for low and moderate income families. At Fannie Mae, we're in the American dream business. FannieMae.com. And by GE. Production assistance comes from FutureStep, online executive recruiting from Korn Ferry International and The Wall Street Journal. Also from Oregon Public Broadcasting and the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication. Market data and news are provided by Reuters, a leading global news and financial information company. On the web or Reuters private networks, you've never gotten information like this. Support for technology coverage on Marketplace is provided by Audible.com. Audible, a home of audiobooks, radio, and spoken word audio on the web. The Health Desk coverage is supported in part by a major grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Marketplace is produced in Los Angeles by Minnesota Public Radio.
PRI, Public Radio International.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.